live here at WUSB Stony Brook. As you know, the name of the show is Brain Damage. The name of me is Matt, and the name of you is a mystery you have to figure out yourself. It's anywhere between 49 and minus 14 degrees around here, although it feels like 85 in here. And for once, I'm not sneezing. Although, who knows, later on the show I might be. The number is 632-6901 if you care to foul the airways with drivel or maybe even educate us for once. Okay with, well, actually, educating us is okay. Fouling the airways with drivel is something I reserve for my own pleasure. Got somebody waiting. Actually, got several people waiting. For the life of me, I have no idea what this is, but that's cool. I'm just waiting for the next feedback pattern. Keep this on for a couple of minutes.
Chisholm room, room 412. Mental health, clinic. Get tender. Get on long. Under shirt. Melody. Please, but good is paper back writer, hunched over an old royal with a red and black right writer.
Let me put it this way, folks. If you don't fill up the lines, you gotta hear this for the rest of the show. You know something? Persuasion does work. And at some point, I will switch to the normal voice here and kiss this off. Bye-bye. Okay, now I got a whole bunch of people waiting. I'm going to put the poetry guy on. And here you go. What do you want to do tonight?
Well, I don't know. Do you know what you want to do?
Well, that's why I was hoping you would call.
Well, I don't know about the story. I mean, we tried different things. I don't know. I was trying to create something that would have some coherence or something that would be understandable. But it got pretty out of hand. So I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to try it again?
We could try it again, sure.
Yeah, let's try it again because I do have five. Uh-oh. Guess what? Somebody just hung up the phone. Okay, just got to do something here. Folks, you know what the penalty is for not filling up the lines. There we go. Had to fix that real quick. Okay. So, guess what? Okay, let's start the story. Well, I don't know.
First, I want to read something, though.
Oh, yeah, read something. Then we'll decide at another point whether we want to start the story, because I have a whole bunch of people who want to do some other things. Let's get them out of the way first.
All right. Okay, I'm going to read a poem. Well, I guess we got to send the boys and girls off to war and stuff. I mean, if there is going to be a war, or whether it's just going to be a silly little thing, I don't know.
There'll probably be a silly little thing. Did you see the guns those Haitians had?
Oh, I heard about them, though.
World War I vintage Lee Enfields. They don't even have ammunition for them. Probably because nobody makes it anymore.
They can't get spare parts or anything. It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Blowing into them, all the dust comes out.
That's right.
Really sad. Well, all right, so we're going to kick some butt. And so I thought I'd send him off with a little prayer. It's called the War Prayer. And it was written by Samuel Longhorn Clemens.
Oh, and those of you who don't know who he is, try one of the five pillars of required reading in high school English. You can name any other four, but he's one of them. Fellow named Mark Twain.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, it's called the War Prayer. O Lord, our Father, our young patriots, idols of our hearts, go forth to battle. Be thou near them, with them in spirit. We also go forth from the sweet peace of our beloved firesides to smite the foe. O Lord our God, help us to tear their soldiers to bloody shreds with our shells. Help us to cover their smiling fields with the pale forms of their patriot dead. Help us to drown the thunder of the guns with the shrieks of their wounded, writhing in pain. Help us to lay waste their humble homes with a hurricane of fire. Help us to wring the hearts of their unoffending widows with unavailing grief. Help us to turn them out, roofless, with their little children to wander unfriended the wastes of their desolated land in rags and hunger and thirst, sports of the sun flames of summer and the icy winds of winter, broken in spirit, worn with travail, imploring thee for the refuge of the grave and denied it. For our sake who adore thee, Lord, blast their hopes, blight their lives, protract their bitter pilgrimage, make heavy their steps, water their way with their tears, stain the white snow. Maybe he died like in 81 or 1881.
No. I think that was when he said the rumors of my death are greatly exaggerated. He did live into the 20th century.
He did?
Yes, he did.
Wait a minute, I gotta see. Thurber, Twain. No, he's not listed here. I don't have him here for some reason.
Okay, I'm sure somebody's going to come up with that. Maybe the guy who does jingles. But that's what you're sending your boys into when you go into Haiti. Actually, I'm not so sure we're going to be sending our boys into that. I get the feeling that, judging from the Haitian Americans, who are all for it, by the way, the ones that I know, they're probably just going to say, hey, welcome, have a beer or something, or give us a beer, because we don't have anything here. Something like that.
I heard it's going to be like, they could have trouble because it could turn into guerrilla war and they're not really trained for that.
Well, you got to remember a thing. The term Banana Republic is not just the name of a store. It is the name of places like Haiti. I don't think Haiti's military is sufficiently organized or sufficiently strong to sustain anything close to that. They haven't been in the past, and we are talking about a really ragtag setup. It's the history of the Haitian military outside of their original War for Independence, in which case they fought brilliantly, has been a dubious one within their own country. Haitian soldiers have fought well in other conflicts where they've helped out, where they've served as either mercenaries or allies, but within their own country, it's basically a bunch of people with guns picking on a bunch of people who don't have guns. So when they're putting on this whole show for Carter, Powell, and Nunn down there, which was an absolute joke. I mean, they come into this, yeah, right. They look at Haiti. The car that Carter was riding in had three different kinds of hubcaps on it. And you're just wondering, hey, folks, you guys are really going to put up a fight? Get real.
Do you know how long the meeting lasted?
Not offhand, no.
It's weird. So they just, like, they're just the kind of army. What did you say? They, like, pick up other people, you know, just come
they're
and join our army or whatever?
Well, they're people with guns who pick on people who don't have guns.
Oh, right, I see.
Yeah. That's essentially all they are. There was a time when they were pretty efficient, and they were damn efficient killers. One reason why is because the U.S. trained them so they could defend themselves against people like Fidel. But Fidel has no designs on Haiti. As a matter of fact, no one has any designs on Haiti. Haiti doesn't really need an army because nobody wants that country.
Yeah, and I heard that they asked Americans, like, ask some Haitians to, like, you know, help, ask some Haitians to, you know, if they could train them for a few months and then they could come down and fight. And they all said no. They didn't want to fight for their own country.
That is a bit of a turnoff. If I were president of the United States and I heard that, and I would probably say, screw them.
I mean, come on.
I'd probably say, look, dudes, if you're not willing, I don't know if I would necessarily want to train any more Haitians to be soldiers, because the last thing that country needs is another army. But I do think that the Haitian people in America, the expatriates, should take some responsibility for their own country.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm going to get some hue and cry over that, but I've heard so many times them blaming the United States for their problems, for past invasions, past interventions, leaving Duvalier in there when they could have done something about it. But my answer to that is, okay, then why do you want us to invade now?
Yeah.
Maybe an oversimplification on my part, but it doesn't look like a really good situation.
Yeah, I don't know.
One thing about the Cubans, at least with the ones in Miami and the ones that participated in the Bay of Pigs invasion, there was a group of people who were perfectly willing to go in there and overthrow Castro.
You mean the Americans who came in, or you mean the Cubans who fought alongside?
Well, in the Bay of Pigs invasion was made up of Cuban expatriates primarily, and Kennedy effectively left them to fend for themselves, because I believe the U.S. was supposed to provide air support and didn't. So they were left there in the Bay of Pigs in Cuba, where they were decimated and captured by Castro's forces, which by then had received some pretty fancy Soviet military equipment and proper training. Nobody wants to invade Cuba either, by the way. As ragtag as their economy is, their army is very well trained and their defenses are very well organized. Nobody wants to pick a fight with them, because even though a larger country would win, it would be a very nasty situation. It would be a very hard win.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, wait a minute. I do have when Mark Twain lived. Wait a minute. 61... Yeah, he died in 1910.
Ah, okay, 1910, I was right, just before World War I. But having seen the Civil War, that was enough for anyone. But there were some other ones similar to that in Flanders Fields. I forget who wrote that.
I don't know.
It's a poem that school children were forced to recite back right. Right after World War I, and yeah, but it was a very strong poem that kind of lost its meaning after it was being recited back by just about everybody.
Just after World War I they made them recite it?
Yeah, well into the post-war period. It was one of those standard poems back in those days. Yeah, I mean, you and I grew up in a comparatively enlightened time. Back in those days, teaching was by rote. Memorization. So there were certain poems that you memorized, certain things that you had to read, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And In Flanders Fields was one of them.
And it sort of lost its meaning because it was sort of attached to a time period, and after a while it sort of was archaic or whatever?
No, it never really lost its meaning. It's just that, just the same way Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn kind of lose their significance when they're being rammed down the high school kids' throats, so did this.
Oh, right, I see. Yeah. It's another thing, high school literature, I don't want to talk about. That was boring.
Yeah. There are so many, you have to wonder about that. Works like Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, and a lot of Scarlet Letter and all the other ones were terrific books. And you don't really find out how good they are until you get out of high school and actually read them on your own.
That's right. Yeah, because, I mean, I didn't want to learn. It's just like, I didn't want to write. I didn't want to have to be forced to write an opinion I didn't necessarily have, to write three pages I didn't necessarily have to say about. I was going to discover some things about the things I was reading later, not then.
Well, I think the whole idea was that the hope was that you would discover something, at least at that point, to make it easier for you to discover something later on. But I guess it's in the presentation. I am not against in the slightest requiring high school students to read certain books. No question, because otherwise they wouldn't do it. But the way it's presented is all wrong. I would have them read the classics. I'd also have them read some current stuff.
Mm.
Well, I was very fortunate in that I got a chance to read some writers who were actually alive, like John Updike.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure the generation before me didn't have such good fortune.
Yeah.
I saw a book, those books for a buck counters in school bookstores, a poetry book. You're not going to believe this. They had John Lennon in there.
Oh, really? Cool.
I was shocked. I saw Eleanor Rigby in there, and I said, wow.
Excellent.
But
They kind of do that with Bob Dylan sometimes, too.
Yeah, they do. I remember reading Blowin' in the Wind in school, reading it. Now, of course, I knew the song by heart long before then, but I said, hey, wow, and they even had a picture of Dylan in there. That's really cool. But I was just amazed to see stuff like that. So apparently the people who are writing these textbooks nowadays see the problem. Unfortunately, not all the teachers have a grasp on it yet.
Oh, yeah.
Many of them are just going through the motions. But I really shouldn't be judgmental because I ran to some who really knew what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell you what. Call back on this line a little later, and we'll see how the show's progressing, and we'll see what we do from there.
Okay, cool.
Okay?
All right, bye.
See ya. Okay. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, Matt, what's up? Hey,
Jim, sorry to keep you waiting so long.
Right. So what have you been up to?
Not a lot since last week.
Yeah. You didn't get Jim's number, did you?
Yes. Unfortunately, oh, God, I forgot to bring it with me again. It's on an index card.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On my table at home.
Uh-huh.
And it's just sitting there. Matter of fact, Jamie gave me his copy. That's the only copy of Jim's number that there is between here and Atlanta.
Jamie got to see Jim?
Huh?
Jamie see Jim?
Jamie. Matter of fact, Jamie spent the weekend over at his place when he first got back. Yeah.
That's cool. I guess I'll have to wait until he comes back again for a while.
Yeah. Well, of course, Jim was here the other week, so.
Yeah. I guess I'll have to wait. Yeah, I know what you were saying about the Haiti. I was watching a CNN. They got, like, poorly trained soldiers.
Oh, it's a joke.
They have these helicopters and stuff that, like they have no parts for them.
Mm-hmm.
They said that a lot of the troops said that if the U.S. would start attacking, they would just, like, start running. So that's what I heard.
Yeah. The only way they're going to carry on a guerrilla war is for mere survival, because a lot of the people, a lot of the military and the goon squads have to run from personal vendettas. Because as soon as that so-called government is swept out of power, there's going to be revenge. Yeah. Aristide's saying go easy on them, but Aristide's not going to be able to control him.
Yeah, I know.
But not even close. He couldn't when he was in office. How do you think he's going to do it now?
It's going to be, a cheesy war.
Well, it isn't going to be a war. It's going to be a police action.
It'll be, you know, in and out really quick,
yeah.
I think.
Well, I got another little statement. Ted Koppel and several other interviewers are saying, how does this serve U.S. interests? How does this serve U.S. interests? Why would we be interested in Haiti in the first place? Well, he got 14,000 of their people stuck in our naval base and, stomping all over our golf course at Guantanamo Bay and really making life miserable over there for the military. So, it would be nice to clean their country up so they can go home.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Do you think we will attack and go in?
I think so.
I think so.
I think these guys are between a rock and a hard place. First of all, they narrow it down to three generals, but the whole army, top to bottom, you're talking about literally thousands of people who have perpetuated this terror over the past 40 years, and they just can't give them all up at once. So they're going to try to go down with a fight, and, what crude fight they can put up. Remember, Noriega's forces were better trained than what Haiti has and better equipped, and they didn't even bother to fight back.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. I take it back. Noriega's forces did fight back just a bit, but not much.
Yeah. Well, Iraq fought back, too.
Yeah, but that's another story.
It's a whole different story in its own.
Yeah, Iraq being a much, much larger country.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to, let's see, what should I do with you? Move you to another line, because I'm going to need you later on.
If they ask you.
Yeah, I'll park you over to another line, because all I'm right. Going to put you on with the poetry guy when he calls back. Okay. Hi there.
All right.
Okay, stick around for a while. You're on brain damage.
Hello?
Yeah.
Am I in the air?
Yeah.
Cool. I would like to comment on the Haitians.
Go ahead.
I don't know. They're like, they have no right coming to America after being kicked out, you know?
Well, actually, they weren't physically kicked out of their country. They kind of ran like hell out of there because it was either stay or possibly die.
Well, what was the reason for the government to be so mean to them?
Well, first of all, the government is doing anything in its power to maintain power. So they feel that to do that, they have to use fear and... Twit. Brain damage.
Hey.
What's going on?
Yeah, you cut me off.
Oh, I didn't cut you off.
Hey, he killed me.
How? I didn't cut you off.
I thought you did.
No, I put you on hold.
No, it just hung up and it starts ringing again, so I was like...
Oh, no. What happens is if I keep you on hold after a certain amount of time, it starts ringing again. I didn't cut you off. You were there all the time.
Okay.
Okay, what do you want to talk about tonight?
I don't really know, man. I just called up to see what's up.
Well?
And then you start talking about Haiti.
Twit. Brain damage.
Hi. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I've been monitoring 4 different talk shows at the same exact time right now.
Yeah.
And one of the most funniest things, you said, what is the U.S. interest in Haiti? And then someone else on another station used your exact same words.
Of course.
It was the funniest thing, and he was a different guy and everything. I've been listening to some guy whine about his date, that her mouth is too big. I've been listening to another girl talk about how she wants to do a play, but she can't get stage right and stage left together. And this Armenian guy is talking about how he hates the post office. And then there's you, and I can hear you talking about Haiti, I think.
Yeah.
Some guy who died. Who died? What was his name?
Oh, which guy?
The guy you were talking about. You want to know when he died?
Oh, Mark Twain. 1910, we found out.
Yeah, he died in 1910. And you were whining that you didn't get calls or something like that.
Well, no. What I did was...
You made threats that
But yes, I used fear and intimidation. Well, not really fear and intimidation. All I did was, instead of holding a gun to somebody's head, all I did was say I would infect the airwaves with insipid noise if I did not get what I wanted.
Are the lines full right now?
Yes, they are.
Really?
Yes.
So, I'm sorry to say this, but you're kind of like losing part of your audience.
Well, it depends. If it's a part of an audience that I want to lose, then so be it.
I know that, but you're also losing some other parts, too.
Okay, what parts am I losing?
You haven't heard from, what's his name in a while?
Who?
Tony Thomas is still here.
Tony Thomas has been here on a pretty regular basis. He was here last week and the week before. And
here since Mother's Day.
Yeah.
That was his first show.
Yep.
But you've lost, like, there were a bunch of regular callers. You don't have the guy who called up and asked you about colleges all the time.
Well, I think he's in college, isn't he?
No, he's not.
No, he's got another year to go. Okay.
You lost him and other guys, too. So anyway, you need a gimmick.
Okay. Think of a gimmick for me.
Yeah, I think you need something that will make people join your show. You need a sidekick.
I already have a sidekick.
Poetry guy's okay for ideas and everything, but when you talk to him for 20 minutes at a time, I mean, you can expect some people to hang up.
Well, yes, naturally.
First of all, he's talked so low on the air, it's hard to hear what he's saying.
Well, I got this thing blasting, so there's really not a lot I can do about that, but that happens with a lot of callers. Maybe it's his cordless phone, or maybe he doesn't have a cordless phone, or whatever. Often it's
a
quality.
You need Jim, the producer.
Oh, yes. I probably could use him. Yes, I could use him, but
if he agreed to come on your show, it would be a lot better.
Yes, but he's under contract to Eric.
Don't you have a friend or something that could just pop in once in a while?
Actually, I have a few. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should
get
them to drop
in
every now and then. Yes, I really should get a sidekick.
It would get people to listen. So what are you doing tonight anyway?
What am I doing? Well, we're actually right now, I'm just going through the first wave of callers and trying to find out what the tone is going to be for the show.
All
right.
I got a point.
Okay.
I have a series of survey questions that I'd like to ask.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Survey question number one.
Uh-huh.
Do you like William Shatner?
Do I like William Shatner? He is a damn good Captain Kirk, yeah.
The next question is, do you like Mr. Kirk?
Captain Kirk.
Yeah, Captain James E. Kirk.
Yes.
Okay. Do you like Tech War?
Never read it, but I heard it's good.
Did you like the Tech War series?
Didn't get a chance to watch that either.
All right. Do you like beans?
Like what?
Beans.
Who?
Beans.
Beans.
Yeah.
Certain kinds.
Okay, I'll put you down for yes, okay? Do you like George Wendt?
Yes.
What do you like best about George Wendt?
The way he can put away a beer.
That's not really beer. It's just water with a soft broth on top.
Well, yeah. Well, probably because if he actually were drinking on the set, he'd never get his lines.
Yeah, and do you realize that he never actually drinks the beers? You never see him drinking?
That's true. I figured, judging from his beer belly, he must put him away really well.
Well, either gets really bloated or someone takes it from him.
Yeah.
Question number seven. Do you enjoy watching William Shatner movies, eating beans with George Wendt, thinking about Tech War with an autographed picture of James T. Kirk?
Is that a multiple choice question?
Yeah. Yes, no, I've never thought about it.
Never thought about it.
Okay. Do you like Jocko Johnson?
Who's he?
He's a guy who goes to my school.
Who is he?
Tall guy who plays volleyball.
No idea who he is.
Okay, do you like Cheers?
Yeah, I like Cheers.
Do you like yearbook photos?
Used to be on the yearbook when I was in high school.
Yes, so am I. Do you like yearbook photos?
Well, it depends on what they are.
Okay. Oh, but depends. Do you like Michael Richards?
Who's he?
You don't know who Michael Richards is?
No. Oh, Kramer.
Yeah.
Kramer, yes. Yes, I like Kramer.
Okay. Do you like Michael Dorn?
Worf?
Yeah.
Yeah, matter of fact, they got his voice on a card somewhere around here.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Do you like the old TV show Small Wonder?
No.
Do you like Fettuccine Alfredo?
If it's fresh.
Okay, I'll put a yes for that. You won't mind, right?
Yeah, no, I won't mind.
You like BAI?
WBAI?
Yeah.
When I can get it.
You like David Letterman?
Yeah.
Jay Leno?
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien?
Yeah, he puts on good bands.
Chevy Chase?
No.
Ed Koppel?
Yes.
Arsenio Hall?
Yes.
Santa Monica, California?
Never been there.
Okay, Melanie Griffith? Infomercials?
Hate them.
You don't like infomercials?
Can't stand them.
You like the Clean Green Machine?
Don't like it.
You like cable courtroom dramas?
Not really.
You like pterosaurs?
Pterosaurs?
Yes.
Oh, you mean extinct creatures?
That used to fly, yeah.
Not really.
You like MSM?
Yeah, she's okay.
You like July 19th, 1994?
What happened July 19th, 1994?
In my opinion, your best brain damage show.
What did I do on it?
All the regulars called. It was just really good. It was the special you ever put on, I think. I have it on tape somewhere.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe I'll play it sometime.
July 19th, 1994 was the best brain damage I ever did. Okay.
It's July 19th. You might say July 17th. I'm not sure. Do you like the store where they let you play the organ?
Which one is that, Frank and Camille's?
Yeah.
If I knew how to play the organ, I probably would.
Okay, do you like snail shows?
Snail shows?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, do you like to sleep in the flowers?
No.
Do you like Spanish?
Don't speak it.
Do you like the Good News Bible?
Well, I don't exactly hate the Bible.
Do you like Carnation Non-Dairy Creamer?
No.
Do you like race cars?
Yes.
Do you like little green mice?
No.
Do you like shrunken heads?
No.
Do you like fake Indian wampum?
No.
Do you like Mariah Carey?
No.
Do you like General Public?
No.
Do you like Barbra Streisand?
No.
Do you like hoodoo gurus?
Eh.
Do you like South America?
Never been there.
Do you like Burma?
Never been there.
Do you like Bhutan?
Never been there, but we've called there once.
Do you like R.E.M.?
They're okay.
Do you like Shakespeare?
Yes.
Do you like Hamlet?
Yes.
Do you like Ophelia?
Well, depending on who played her.
Do you like their deaths?
Their deaths?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was cool.
Do you like Johnson Smith Company's things you never knew existed and other items you can't possibly live without, including motorized banks, Krusty the Clown dolls, and Star Trek Deep Space Nine?
Well, if I had a fireplace, I'd find a use for it.
Do you like George Washington?
Yeah.
Do you like molding plastic into shapes?
No.
Do you like triceratopses?
Not necessarily.
Do you like daving quality paper?
You like what?
Daving quality paper.
No.
Do you like Boy Scouts? Do you like codes of honor?
They're okay.
Do you like whitewater rafting?
Yeah.
Do you like Nintendo?
No.
Do you like Yellowstone National Park?
Never been there.
Do you like math counts competitions?
No.
Do you like the United Nations?
No.
Which do you prefer, Energizer or Duracell?
Whichever's on sale.
Which do you prefer, Star Trek TNG or Star Trek the regular G?
TNG, because at least for most of the time it was on, there was always a chance of a new episode.
Yeah, it's like special effects and an episode of TNG were as good as the special effects and, like, the whole old series combined. Or the whole, like, that first movie.
Probably costs as much, too, but go ahead.
Do you like better, Monopoly or free parking?
Aren't they in the game? Isn't free parking in the game?
Free parking is also a sequel to the game.
No, never seen free parking, but I know I like the free parking spot on the Monopoly board.
Okay. Can you interpret this French phrase? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Quit continue un equipment magnetoscope VHSC.
Whatever it is contains, it could contain a VHS tape recorder, and your pronunciation is horrible.
That is correct, and that's what it says. Do you like Sir Thomas Lipton?
Oh, you mean the tea guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of tea do you prefer, Darjeeling or Earl Grey?
How about the brisk kind?
Do you like megalopolises?
I live in one.
Which one?
New York.
Cool. Do you like Gumby or Pokey?
Let's see, Gumby.
Do you like crystalline rocks?
Crystalline rocks? Yeah, they're cool.
Which do you prefer, Los Angeles or Orlando?
Never been to either one.
You like pre-calculus mathematics?
Hated it.
You like Abraham Lincoln?
He's okay.
You like Manhattan?
Yeah.
You like Sonic the Hedgehog?
Eh.
Do you like Game Boy?
Eh.
Do you like Stamps of the World?
Stamps of the World, they're cool.
Do you like Ren and Stimpy?
No.
Do you like Theodore Roosevelt?
Yes.
Do you like a Brachiosaurus?
No.
Which flag do you prefer, Germany or the old East and West Germanys? Which one's your favorite?
Actually, since they're basically the same color scheme, what do you choose from?
You choose from the fact that one of them had a little...
compass on it? Yeah, big deal. Who cares?
Do you like Anna Karenina or the Brothers Karamazov?
Read neither one.
Which one would you prefer, Tolstoy or Fyodor Dostoevsky?
Dostoevsky wrote shorter novels.
What?
Dostoevsky wrote shorter novels.
They were still long. Anna Karenina was 800 pages. The Brothers Karamazov was 900.
And War and Peace was how long?
Oh, okay. You got a point. Do you like the Outback restaurant?
Never been there.
Do you like Disneyland?
Never been there.
I like Shamnod.
Went there.
Yeah, I heard. Do you like masks?
Jim Carrey's movie?
No, masks. Any kind of mask.
Yeah.
Do you like scorpions?
No.
Do you like sharks?
Sharks, no.
Do you like air conditioning?
Yes.
Do you like frogs?
They're okay.
Do you like Pedro the Donkey?
No.
Do you like clowns?
They're okay.
Are you or have you ever been scared of clowns?
Never.
Do you like Japanese?
They're okay.
Do you like amplifiers?
Yeah.
Do you like coins of the world?
Yes.
Do you like Homer's The Odyssey or The Iliad better?
Odyssey.
Yes, everyone does. Do you like Billy Joel?
Yes.
Do you like The Spin Doctor?
Yes.
Do you like Steve Winwood?
Yes.
Do you like Elton John?
Yes.
Do you like Gloria Estefan?
Yes.
Do you like Genesis?
Yes.
Do you like Julio Iglesias?
No.
Do you like Janet Jackson?
No.
Do you like North America 3 million years ago?
What was that, an ice age?
Yeah.
Good for hockey.
Okay, do you like neck braces?
No.
Do you like 3 pound weights?
I'd like 10 better.
Do you like fishing?
It's okay.
Do you like to wear glasses? Do you like to wear a neck brace?
No.
Did I ask that already?
Yes.
Oh, excuse me, I lost myself. Do you like Paramount Studios?
Yeah.
Let's see, next page. Do you like planets?
Yeah.
Do you like cosines?
What kinds? Cosines? I prefer tangents.
Do you like soccer balls?
Yeah.
Do you like shoes?
Yeah.
Do you like Houlihan's?
Yeah, it's okay.
Do you like the pencils where the lead comes out when you press the top?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
Which do you prefer, Seiko Gucci or Quartz?
What do you mean, Seiko Gucci or Quartz? Seiko Gotcha. Makes Quartz.
Okay. Do you like Little Green Men?
No.
Okay, thank you for the survey. I might call back later with the rest of my survey.
Well, actually, what happens? Did I score points or something like that?
I'm going to determine your personality, and maybe I'll call later and tell it to you. Each of those questions said something about you.
Okay, which probably means I'm a raving lunatic, but people know that already.
I'll tell you that later, okay?
Okay. He's just going to tell me I'm a certified raving lunatic. Whatever. Brain damage. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Pretty good.
This is like the first time I listened to this show in like a few months, actually.
Uh-huh.
I used to listen a lot, like back in the day, like last summer.
Yeah, what was going on last summer? I forget.
Well, the show seems totally different lately. I don't know.
Well, I guess it's the nature of the callers, and I don't know. The format of the show has changed just a bit, but not a lot.
Yeah, but you don't do the teleconferencing anymore, right?
Well, I do it when it serves a purpose for the show, like when I need a peanut gallery when nobody calls, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. But it kind of played itself out, or people were taking advantage of it?
It was being abused, yeah.
Yeah. I think you should, that last guy...
Yeah.
I think you should have cut him off like 15 minutes earlier.
I was looking for a punchline that never came.
Yeah. Okay. Now what I really want from you and all the viewers?
Uh-huh.
And help.
Okay.
Find something.
What are you looking for?
Well, it's a bag of goodies.
Okay.
And I, like, the last time I seen it was like 2 months ago, and I don't even know where to begin to look.
Okay, so, well, first of all, retrace your footsteps.
Okay, well, I thought it was in a pack of cigarettes, an empty pack of cigarettes, mm-hmm. in my nightstand.
Okay.
But when I went back to school,
yeah,
I think I probably put it somewhere safer.
Ah.
But would I have no idea where to look.
What would be a safer place?
I have no idea. I mean, there is a lot of other safer places, but...
Well, since I don't really know what your room looks like or something like that, I can't really imagine what safer places would
be. I'm going to try that retracing my steps thing, but I don't know if it's going to work.
Uh-huh.
Because, I don't know, I'm a little absent-minded when it comes to the short-term memory.
Right. Well, actually, this is long-term. This is a couple of months ago.
Yeah, true, true.
Yeah, so let's try it. Also, turn your radio down, otherwise you're just going to get confused.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, while he does that, it's 12:47, and our thermometer in the studio is totally screwed up because it says minus 14 in here, and it ain't. Okay.
Okay. I thought it was in a pack of... See, like, my main concern is...
Yeah.
Is that nobody else got a hold of what I'm looking for.
Okay, if it was in a pack of cigarettes, that's a big problem, because that could just as easily have been thrown away.
Right. Oh, man, I didn't even think of that.
And oh,
that
yeah.
It's almost like throwing money away.
Now, of course, the pack of cigarettes still had cigarettes in it?
No.
Oh, you got a problem.
But I don't think I would have thrown it away, because I know where it was at.
Yeah, okay, but you may not have thrown it out. Do you have a girlfriend who's in the room a lot or something like that?
I don't think she'd take this home with her.
No, not necessarily take it home with her, but she opens up the drawer and says, "Whoa, what's this?" And it goes right into the garbage.
I think she would have brought it up.
Really?
My parents or anybody, because it's a controlled substance.
Ooh, that's a problem. Sure, you know, do you have a pet? Like a dog or something?
Well, it's not that controlled substance, because... I've had my dog eat my weed stash before.
Yeah.
But this is a different stash altogether.
Oh, did you have to follow him around with a plastic baggie?
Oddly enough, my roommate...
Yeah?
From school, his dog ate, like, a large amount.
Oh, boy.
They brought him to the vet, and the vet knew just from looking at the dog that he ate pot.
Naturally. You can tell if anybody ate pot just by looking at him.
So I think that's a pretty common thing, you know... Considering dogs, they sniff it out and they just chow down.
What is it about dogs? They like to eat this stuff.
Yeah, they figure, what the hell, it smells good.
Yeah. Wow, because I always thought when I was a kid that whole thing with Cheech and Chong was fictitious, but no.
Yeah, and they follow the dog around with a paper bag and they roll it up.
Yeah, man, this is Labrador, man.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's exactly what they called it, too. But,
okay, keep it up. You're doing a good job.
Okay, thanks.
I wish you'd start doing that teleconference thing again, but...
You know what? Hang on. I'm going to do something about that right now, because I could use you later on.
Okay,
Hang on. Jim.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're going to have to help this fellow find his cigarette pack. So, both of you are going to have to stick around for a while. So let me pick him out of this crowd here. Okay. You just go over retrace his footsteps and stuff like that. You know, maybe his girlfriend threw it out. Maybe his girlfriend sold it. Maybe his dog got it. Who knows? We'll find out later on in the show. Okay, guys?
Okay.
632-6901. It's 12:50. I am going to take a little teeny-weeny breaky-poo and see what's going on out there. And maintain confidentiality at the same time. Yeah, right. I'd like to maintain confidentiality at the same time. Back in a minute.
Like a perfume. Like a perfumed woman, like a perfumed woman. like a perfumed woman, 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 like a bird, 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 like a the wind blows in the bunker.
I'm back. Okay, the Don Lawn Sextet gets potted down, and I get potted up, and maybe we'll all get potted. Brain damage. Hello? Anybody home? Try it again. Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time listener.
Okay, how long?
About a year.
Pretty good.
Yes, and I'd like to know if we could start a Tony Thomas fan club.
Well, that's up to Tony.
Yes, is there any way I can get through to him?
If he calls.
Yes, because I am a real fan of his.
Tell you what.
Yes.
If he calls, then call again, and we'll try to get the two of you together.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay. In the meantime, I got to go move on. Okay, thanks. Brain damage.
Hey.
Hey.
So.
What's going on? You have a couple survey questions for me?
Yeah, okay. Which one? Melrose or 90210?
Melrose.
Which would you rather sleep with?
Tommy Lee.
Oh, okay, well.
She did something smart in her life. Took her long enough, but yeah.
I was just watching something on TV today about she's hooked up with someone else now, right?
Oh, yeah, but that'll last about 10 minutes.
Think? I don't know about that. How long was she with Tommy Lee for?
Yeah, but she was actually married to the guy.
Exactly, but I mean, you look at all these other stars today, you know?
Yeah, but believe it or not, getting married in Hollywood is like having a relationship. It does have an end.
Oh, okay. Like, Brenda, what's her face? Shannon Doherty.
I wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole.
Who did she marry again?
I don't even think she remembers.
I don't know. It ended, like, a month later?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't even think she remembers who the guy was. And he sure as hell doesn't because he was on drugs the whole time.
I don't know. I just remember reading in one magazine that, it was BYOB to the party.
Bring your own bitch?
I don't know what it was.
Whatever. The PC crowd on campus is really going to let me have it for that one. But Shannon Doherty is the type of person who you would definitely try to keep away from sharp objects lest she try to use them on you.
I know. I'd like her to kill herself.
Nah, she'll probably kill somebody else first.
Are we talking OJ now?
No, we're talking about, Claudine Longet. You never heard of her, huh?
Mm.
He used to be married to Andy Williams, dumped him for a skier, and then the skier was teaching her how to use a gun, and she shot him by accident.
Sure, it was an accident?
Yeah, well, she got nailed for negligent manslaughter, but just about everybody said it was pretty much an accident because she couldn't have possibly aimed and hit him. Something like that.
Okay. I heard that guy call up about teleconference before, man. I haven't called here in a while.
Yeah.
I remember, I think the last time I called, yeah, before the summer.
Yeah.
And before that was with, what's his face was on?
Who? Eric?
Before you were here.
Eric.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotta move on, though. Thanks for calling.
Is anyone in teleconference now?
Well, actually, it isn't really a teleconference.
Could you throw me in there?
It's kind of like locate a stash.
I'll help. Trust me, I'm used to that.
Oh, you're good at locating stashes.
Moms used to steal.
Huh?
My moms used to take them from me.
Oh, your mother used to steal the stashes from you?
Yeah.
What'd she do, sell them or smoke them?
No, she used to throw them.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Has no entrepreneurial sense whatsoever.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, hang on.
Thanks.
You want this guy?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Fortunately.
Yeah, whatever. You're in. Okay. You're on brain damage.
Hey, would this be Lionel Jefferson?
Lionel Jefferson. From where?
Huh? Excuse me?
From where? Brentwood.
Yeah, I just bought the Rio hair.
Yeah.
From the paid advertisement.
Yep.
It done don't work.
Where were you using it?
In my hair.
Okay, that's a spray-on stuff, right?
No, it's like a gel, but like made out of vanilla.
Gel made out of vanilla, and it's supposed
like natural,
to grow hair?
Natural spices.
Yeah, and it's supposed to grow hair.
Put in your hair? No, to make it straight.
Make it straight. Well, you see, the trouble is, your hair's got to be a little, got to have a little bit of length to it in order to make it straight. How long is your hair?
It is up to my chin.
Up to your chin?
Yeah.
What are you using on your chest hair?
I don't, no, I don't have an a ponytail.
Oh, you have it in a ponytail?
Yeah.
And you're trying to get, trying to straighten it out?
Yeah.
Okay. I know there are some other things that work pretty well with straightening hair, but unfortunately an infomercial is probably not going to be where you find one. Go to a hair salon.
Like, what should I look for?
Let's see. They'll tell you. Jerry curl?
Jerry curl? How about lanolin?
That's what Jerry curl's made out of, isn't it?
Lanolin? I think so. It's like hair food?
Well, let's see. Well, there's Jerry curl. It's Paul Mitchell makes some crazy stuff. Yeah, okay. See ya. Thanks. Brain damage.
My body, including my penis?
It was his penis from which she could not escape.
Help cut your meat, Junior.
The whole meaning of the penis, like, represents men and everything wrong with men and men being, like, obsessive and dominant and overbearing and just, you know, being men.
All my male friends have a name for their penis, which I'm very familiar with and we kid around about.
I don't.
Stuffy, smiley.
Bowlington.
Stiffy.
We have named them it. And we say, how is it? Fine.
How was it?
Terrific.
How's it hanging?
Oh,
Talking about sex openly and being educated about sex is one thing, but displaying it is another.
Then you come on the beach.
In a crispy pocket.
When it's late at night and you want a tasty bite, what are you going to pick? Hot pocket.
The hot meal.
Hey, guys. The only way we put commercials on is if they pay for it. Anyway, gotta be going for just a second. And I got a friend who does a show every month, well, about once a month on WUSB, Stony Brook. We're at the top of the hour.
Doctor, you're not going to hurt me, are you?
Ah! Is this what comes to mind when you think of going to the dentist? Well, fortunately, there is a lot more to the field of dentistry than just filling cavities or patients screaming. Hello, I'm Tom Justo, a student at SUNY Stony Brook's School of Dental Medicine and host of the talk show, Big Mouth. I'll take you on a tour of all of the different and fascinating areas of the dental profession, from forensic dentistry to sterilizing handpieces to issues that affect the field as we speak. This show will take a serious and intelligent look at the profession at large and will hopefully clear up any misconceptions that people have had about the field of dentistry. Keep tuning to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM to hear Big Mouth, the first Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock p.m. Until then, keep smiling.
Welcome back. It's 101. You're listening to the place where we fail to understand sick behavior, WUSB Stony Brook. Hi.
Hey.
Okay, gotta move you over. Hang on. Okay. Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, okay, hang on. Yo. Yeah, what do you want to talk about tonight?
This is Jim, Matt.
Okay, Jim, hang on. Got to rebuild my peanut gallery here. Okay. Okay, Jim, you're in. Hang on. Yo.
Yeah, how you doing? I got a story about candy.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, Twizzlers and Beth on a Stick. It may sound a little odd, but it's an original candy by Harvey's Deli in West Islip.
Beth on a Stick.
Beth on a Stick.
What's it made out of?
It's made out of chocolate, caramel, and a little Puerto Rican.
Yo. Hello.
The hard takes to the extreme outside.
Yo.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs. The creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative reporter.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
The creature is wanted for a murder he didn't commit. David Banner is believed to be dead. And he must let the world think that he is dead until he can find a way to control the raging spirit that dwells within him.
The Incredible Hulk. Lost in space. That's it?
Penny, let's try it for my entrance. I will knock and you will answer.
What was my line again?
Just one moment.
Oh, yes. Now I remember.
Waiting for the knock at the door, Dr. Smith. Ha!
Children. This is a painful situation, but some young gays are trying to resolve it. Here's a report.
Donald Lair and Garrison Boyce left the Catholic Church 17 years ago when the local archdiocese declared homosexuals to be sinners and a threat to society.
The immediate reaction was anger, though. You were angry that someplace that you had felt comfortable and believed in and wanted to be just said no.
Okay.
I belong now to a gay synagogue, which is up in North Miami Beach, and it's very important to me.
Yo.
Yo, what's up?
Okay, now I'm supposed to put you back on the side, right?
Right, but I do have one other thing that I'd really like to talk about that's
sure.
Really interesting.
Go for it.
Monday, day after tomorrow, the Richard Bay Show.
Oh. Who's he got as a guest?
I don't know. I'm anxious to see. Hopefully, Dr. Judy, I don't know.
Dr. Judy Kuriansky, God, she's really moved up in life, hasn't she? Yeah, I remember when she used to be the Channel 2 psychologist, and she was never able to talk about anything that was of substance, because she was basically the psycho fluff reporter.
Psycho fluff reporter.
Yeah, call him up and tell her that. Psycho fluff reporter. Yeah, that's right.
I can't believe you don't like infomercials.
Well, I am so sick of Dionne Warwick's Psychic Friends Network.
This played out, but if you get a good one for like a meat dehydrator.
Oh.
Talking about an hour of solid fun.
Oh, which one? The vacuum containers.
Or the Ronco electric meat dehydrator.
Well, yeah, Ronco invented the genre.
You can make jerky for pennies a serving.
Like I'd want to make jerky in the first place. I can't stand the stuff. That's got to be, you got to see the humor in that, because I don't know. I never really liked Slim Jims that much, let alone wine make my own.
Large quantity for yourself.
Why?
could you put me back on that line?
Sure. Sure.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Okay, we're bringing him back. You're in. Don't you just love the sound it makes when somebody comes in?
Matt.
Yeah.
Careful you don't cut nobody off now.
Right. Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. And make sure it goes back on hold. That's right. We are officially back in business. Back in business. Should I take the plunge? Yeah, why not? Yo. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little more about Haiti to get a little more insight on it. What do they speak, Creole? That's some kind of French dialect? Or?
Well, yeah, it's kind of, you're familiar with Jamaican patois, right? Kind of like a development of English.
Yeah.
Same thing. Creole is the same basic idea, except that French is the base.
It's sort of like a sing-song island dialect.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it. First of all, you got to remember something, that Haiti's education system has historically been far from universal. The native language of it was a former French colony, so the original language spoken there was French. However, since it was also a place where the slave trade was rather big, nobody bothered to teach the slaves anything close to that. So another language kind of evolved out of the various African dialects that were coming and going through there, and French. French was the base for it, and I am told, although I am hard-pressed to do it myself, native speakers of French have very little trouble understanding Creole, but they can't necessarily speak it. I happen to speak French reasonably well, and I have all sorts of trouble with Creole.
But Haiti's only half the island. What is the Dominican Republic? Do they speak French?
They speak Spanish.
That's Spanish.
That's right. It was split between the Spanish and the French for a very long time.
What is the size of the whole island and the size of Haiti and the Dominican Republic? I'm amazed.
Haiti has about 5 million people, and it's not a very big country. It is, I'm trying to think in terms of square mileage. I don't know what it is in absolute square mileage terms, but I would say not a lot bigger than Jamaica.
But the Dominican Republic's economy is so-so or a little better than Haiti?
A little better than Haiti, not a lot. Government's a bit more stable.
No.
They've had their series of dictatorships and stuff like that, but not anywhere near as brutal as Haiti's. They had a problem with communist insurgency back in the 60s, which we stomped on. And, of course, that was debatable then. Let's see.
I can't see going in there just to save a few zombies.
Yeah. The most famous export from the Dominican Republic nationally is shortstops.
Well, they have some cigars, too, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about famous exports. I mean, it's Dominican cigars are rather famous, but Tony Fernandez is probably more so. And the Alou brothers, and Joaquin Andujar, and on and on and on. Juan Marichal, I believe, is Dominican. Great baseball. Oh, baseball is the sport. And it's rather ironic because Haiti is where the baseballs are made, okay, and they don't play.
Not amazing.
They do not play. In the Dominican Republic, however, anywhere where they can clear a piece of land big enough for a baseball field, they play.
I saw a piece on the news, this brief, about us being in there back at the turn of the century, and absolutely did no good.
Oh, well, we have been in and out of Haiti ever since it received its independence from France in 1804. I would go so far as to say that half the time Haiti's been independent, it's been under American occupation. Not half the time, maybe a third.
And this is all U.S. tax dollars?
All your tax dollars at work. By the time 1935 rolled around, I believe, we finally said the hell with it and tried to leave something resembling a democratic government in there. Didn't work, because then Francois Duvalier was came to power in, I believe, 57.
Didn't we learn anything from Somalia or whatever?
Well, that's the point. Clinton is saying that we'll be in and out. Well, that's one of the reasons why we're assembling this peacekeeping force made up of other Caribbean nations, to limit our responsibility in Haiti to just getting the bastards out and then leaving this multinational police force, so to speak, to maintain order in there. That's probably the best way to handle it, because at least the Caribbean, at least its neighboring Caribbean nations, rather than the American conqueror. So that just looks a lot better on paper and also on the streets. But also, our past experiences in Haiti say that once we get in, we have a hard time getting out.
Well, that's my point, too. We continue doing this around the world, and the theories that have been kicking around that the communists aren't out of the woods yet. They can regroup at some point and...
Oh, sure, but you see...
where we're going, and that could be once we've drained all our resources and...
Well, this isn't going to be a big drain on our resources. That's one thing. And second of all, the main reason why we're doing this is so that all of Haiti doesn't end up on our doorstep in Florida. We're trying to clean up their country so that they have a homeland again, and there isn't the overwhelming need. When Aristide was elected, this is where a few Haitians told me, that people were beginning to start reinvesting in the country, but also a lot of Haitian Americans were considering going back.
Huh.
Because one of the reasons they left is because the country was unlivable.
The other thing is, I can't understand why Latin American countries can't cooperate more. Like, we have NATO, we have OAS, but they just don't pull together, the Latin American countries. Is that mainly because they're all dictatorships and stuff?
Well, actually, that trend's been reversing itself, but historically, yes, they have been. And Latin American countries have had their individual beasts with the United States too, so they're not necessarily going to jump and snap to attention every time the U.S. says we got police action.
Well, I mean, a country in their region, you would think that they take a little more interest.
Yeah, what we do have is something that was called the Monroe Doctrine. Okay, a fellow named James Monroe, fifth president of the United States, actually made a statement which didn't exactly become law, but as being a doctrine, it kind of became practice, that powers outside the Western Hemisphere were not allowed to either recolonize or interfere. But we could interfere in the governments of the Western Hemisphere, but outside powers could not. That was the idea behind that was that right about that time, most of South America had just become independent from Spain and Portugal. And to prevent other countries from reclaiming those countries like they did in Africa, the United States pledged to keep that from happening. And for well over 100 years after that, that is exactly what they did. There were still colonies in South America. There are still colonies in South America. But those were there before the doctrine went into effect.
Is that when England went down to that island?
Falkland Islands. You know what, the Falkland Islands, now you brought it up, this is a great story behind that. It was good for a sidebar in the Philadelphia Inquirer, never made the Times. But there was a letter from Martin Van Buren at the time, of course, which would be somewhere between, during his four-year term, which I believe was 1825 to 1829, won the 1824 election. But anyway, Argentina had just become independent. It was then called the Republic of Buenos Aires. And they claimed that those islands, and then the United States forced them off and then abandoned them. So there was a letter saying that the Republic of Buenos Aires has no claim to those islands, but the British, who then took them, do. So the whole thing with the Malvinas and all the other stuff, the Falklands War, was an absolute disaster for Argentina, because what it was a diversion by the military government to take attention off themselves and direct it towards the British. You know, it's a typical revolutionary plot, in that when a revolutionary or a radical or a right-wing or whatever government takes power, in order to divert attention from its atrocities, they pick a fight with somebody else, like Iran did with Iraq.
It's amazing, isn't it, on this modern world that people just can't get their act together. And
hey, that France pulled that crap off during the French Revolution. Actually, the rest of Europe tried to restore the monarchy, but France fought back. But it was perfect, because during the Reign of Terror, there was a war going on, so nobody was paying attention.
That's why they say history repeats itself. So I don't want to...
Over and over again.
Appreciate your insight. You got a good historical knowledge.
Over and over and over again. Matter of fact, during the Russian Revolution, there was some debate going on whether the communists, the Bolsheviks, got into power. On part of their platform was get out of the war. But there was some talk about continuing some kind of a war, which in fact happened. It kind of like played into their hands, the civil war that followed.
What year was that?
That was in 1917.
Okay, but people don't realize, too, prior to Second World War and going back through history, there were millions and millions of people killed in revolutions and wars or whatever, aside from natural disasters, too.
Well, there was an interesting statistic that the Imperial War Museum in England came up with. In the 20th century, over 100 million people have been killed as a result of war.
Right.
That's probably more than were killed in all the wars prior to that combined.
Huh.
Because remember, until, I would say, the Civil War, the American Civil War, war was a very limited thing. It was pretty much limited to an open field, which a few thousand soldiers maneuvered. Armies were either professional or recruited amongst convicts. Armies were not that big. The only reason military targets, army against army, civilians were, you know, rarely got in the middle of it.
And they just turned over a whole city or a nation based on a small battle like that.
Well, yeah. Well, that's just about it, because what would happen is the king, or, you know, the leadership of that nation would field an army, and the army would be defeated, and there wouldn't be any army left to stop the country from being conquered. So Napoleon would just, you know, run roughshod over everybody. But again, nothing close to the total devastation that you saw in the 20th century.
Oh, no, it's just amazing what... In this day and age, we have all these things flaring up all over the world.
Yeah.
And we can't get...
I mean, what was crazy about the Civil War is that it was unheard of prior to that to totally break a people by virtually leveling their entire country, which is what we did to the southern part of this country. Leveled.
I guess Rwanda's a modern-day example of that, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they'll ever get back to 100%.
I don't think they should ever become one country again. I think they should split. I think one of Africa's biggest problems is this effort to maintain these borders that were imposed by colonial powers, these artificial borders, is an absolute failure. Tribes who never had any intention or were never really meant to live with each other are forced to, and then you get tribes spread over three countries, and it's just plain ridiculous. Europe, that's occurred for a different reason, because the borders have been so flexible over the centuries. But Africa, you have an example, let's see, one of the tribes in northern Nigeria, I believe it's the Yoruba. They have fairly large representation in Nigeria, but they have very little in common with the people in the southern half of the country. They have more in common with the people in neighboring northern countries. such as Niger and a couple of the others.
So we'll see a lot more problems in Africa.
It's never going to end until somebody or over time, the solution to that problem starts to take root. There has been a movement called Pan-Africanism, in which case all of Africa unites under one government so that the tribes can pretty much represent themselves and whatever. But that never went over well because no dictator or government wants to submit to a central power, kind of like what's going on in Europe. And maybe just as well. I'm rambling like you wouldn't believe, but it's one thing, one leading to another, because I just came up with another event that happened with England. Okay? Get this one. You're going to love this one. You'll be, after I'm done with this, you will be examining every little plastic product you buy, every little cheap thing, and you will be examining where it's made, because this will tick you off like you wouldn't believe. Okay. One of the British newspapers, of course, everybody knows how the British tabloids are at the royal family, but that's not all they do. They do cover other stories. Well, apparently, Malaysia, of course, is a former British colony, member of the British Commonwealth. Britain has a lot of trade between with Malaysia. Malaysia exports huge amounts to England and vice versa.
Very rich in natural resources, too.
Yes, but also becoming very highly industrialized, too, over the past 20 years. Now, Malaysia has a Republican form of government, but it's kind of like the same guys getting voted back in all the time. It's kind of like Nassau County, except nastier. Malaysia's Nassau County-style machine government got very angry when a British newspaper reported on some corruption on the part of Malaysian trade officials. So you know what they did? Cut England off from any Malaysian government contracts, including the construction of a new airport around Kuala Lumpur, I think. So, in reality, the Malaysian government is trying to control the British press. And the British can't do anything about it. They can't take retaliatory action. Guess why?
That's their sports and materials.
EC. Okay, the European community won't let them because Britain pretty much conceded all their power over trade to the European Parliament in Brussels. So there's nothing they can do. So now you're one. Now it. We don't have that problem because we don't belong to anything like that. But you have to wonder what would happen if the New York Times decided to do a job on these people.
I guess we could if we get tighter with Canada and Mexico and come up with some kind of EC market.
You don't want it. Because Canada has very different political and obviously trade needs than we do, and so does Mexico. You want to lower the trade barriers between the three countries, but you don't want to form a bloc to the point where the three countries can't take care of themselves politically or in any other way because they have to worry about the interests of the other members. That's what Germany's going through now, because Germany had to have a tight money policy because they just absorbed 17 million people who had none, and they had to keep inflation under control. And France, who's facing huge unemployment and an economic recession, had to have a loose money policy in order to rebuild their economy. So in the EC, there's a huge conflict there. See the problem? Happens in the United States, too. California, naturally, is devastated because of the fall of the defense industries, while Long Island is finally starting to recover a bit. And they have very different interests.
Well, I think your listeners are better educated as a result of this dissertation. I know I am, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, no problem.
That's the good work.
Oh, thanks. Okay, I got to move on. Okay, we take the challenge again. Brain damage.
Hello?
Yeah.
Matt, do you think I can ask you a question off the air?
I guess it's just about time for me to check some of the callers out. So hang on just a second, and I will put my usual break music on. I'll be back in a minute, folks. Okay,
back right after the show.
Got Vanessa here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air now.
Oh, what's up?
So, what's been going on over by you?
A lot of partying. No. Hanging out. School started. Mm-hmm. And we were just getting together and having a good time.
Can you do me a favor?
What?
I'm not near the teletype at all. Can you tell me what the Ranger Islander score was?
I think the Islanders won. That's what I heard at the party.
Okay.
My friend, he's a Ranger fan,
uh-huh.
And he's like, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, the Islanders, I think they won tonight. It was like 3-2 or something. So, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Really happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's an exhibition, but you know they're up for it.
Yeah, last season I went to the exhibition game, the Islander Ranger one, and the Islanders won, so that could tell you something, because they didn't do pretty good in the regular season.
Yeah. Well, that was at the Nassau Coliseum also?
I think so.
Probably why. Rangers don't like to play there.
That's right. They have a jinx or something.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. What's new with you? You tell me.
Not a lot. Football season is underway, so I get to get on the air on weekends even more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just about it so far.
Right. I see. What have you been doing, like hanging out wise?
Hanging out in the city mostly.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go to De Janeiro Festival, whatever?
San Janeiro. I went last year. Didn't get a chance to go to it this year.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
we're going to go to it tonight. It didn't look like the weather was going to hold up, and actually it didn't because it's raining right now. But
whatever you do, please, just to be on the safe side, don't eat anything before you go.
Right.
Because you will find plenty to eat there. That's what it is, primarily. It is food, and it is more food than you could ever know what to do with.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yeah. So and go for the exotic stuff.
This afternoon.
Yeah, go for the exotic stuff, because you're going to have more Italian sausage than you're going to know what to do with also. So be selective, and you'll have a good time.
That's cool. But how's the show been going? Like, what have you been talking about and everything?
Well, we tried the whole storyline. The poetry guy and I would come up with the beginning of a story, and then we'll have the rest of the other listeners continue it. Things got rather wild, so we may try that in future shows, and we may not. We haven't decided yet.
Who's the poetry guy?
Oh, the fellow who every week he reads a poem or an excerpt from literature, an article like that on the air, and in doing so sets the tone for the show.
Right. Oh, all right. Well, I haven't listened at all to this. Like, you know, I don't really know what's been going on, like weekly or daily or anything like that. I was at the party and I was like, wait, it's Saturday night. I was like, I'm gonna try to call Brain Damage up because I was like, we were having a good time and I could have my friends like talk and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it might get interesting.
Yeah.
But every time I tried, because it was a portable phone, it was a pain, and it was like the rotary dial.
Oh.
So it was like taking so long to go through.
Yeah.
Like, let me just run home because it's like right around the corner from my house. And I was like, I figured I'd call because I don't know if they're listening right now, but I have to get back there. But I figured, you know, why not call up?
Okay.
I haven't called in so long.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, last week was just an exception because, like, I just, happened to walk in at 2 o'clock, but I figured you were off the air, but you weren't, and then I talked to Jim or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot for calling then.
No problem.
Okay.
Matt, do you do teleconferences anymore, or is that, like, totally out of the picture?
Well,
like, not for tonight, but I'm just saying, like, the future.
I do it on occasion. What I do is, instead of the old way we used to do it, I pick and choose certain people that I may need at another point in the show.
Oh, all right, I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to go back to the party. You have a good show, and I will probably talk to you later on, I don't know, in the month.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thanks a lot. Enjoy the party.
Bye.
Right. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey.
I want to know what's going on with Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie. What is this all about?
Man, with the amount of money that those two have, it's more of a corporate merger than a marriage, don't you think?
Well, yes. Want to know my philosophy about this?
Go for it.
First, Michael Jackson is being accused of fondling little boys.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they had to check out his body parts to check out what these little boys were saying. Yeah.
Which means that there is documented proof that he has one.
Yeah. And I figure, so they touched it to check it out.
Yeah.
And he's in love with the first person. He goes out and finds the first person he sees, and that's Lisa Marie. And there you go. That's how they got together.
Hey, why not? But, yeah, how much money does she have?
Oh, very lot.
Yeah, so I guess he was a little more selective. Hey, he married her for her money. Girls do that all the time. Why not? Well, I'll tell you something. She didn't need his money.
Oh, I know that.
But on the other hand, you have to wonder what kind of childhood Lisa Marie had. Remember, Elvis was a rather off-the-wall individual himself.
Elvis was pretty banged up.
Elvis was pretty banged up. So you have to wonder how she turned out. Priscilla Presley is, relatively speaking, a straight arrow, but still.
Yeah.
Could you imagine poor Priscilla? She's like, why?
I don't know about that.
The guy she was married to for a few months was no prize either, don't get me wrong. But what is this? A cartoon marriage? A Neverland marriage, maybe? Because Michael Jackson has reduced himself to a cartoon. A rather obscene cartoon, but a cartoon nonetheless. And
a very sad cartoon.
Yes, a very sad cartoon, exactly. And this just adds to the cartoon atmosphere.
Yep, it's all make-believe for him.
Yep.
He's got that little Wonderland Park on his house.
Neverland.
Range or whatever that is.
Yeah, Neverland.
The Everland. I don't know about that. All I know is it scares me.
Yeah, well, fortunately, it's just Lisa Marie Presley and not someone you know.
Yeah. All right, can I say hello to Beth?
You just did.
All right.
Okay, have fun. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks. You're on Brain Damage. Hello.
There's been a new development in the case.
Yes, I know. They found the murder weapon at Kathy's house. They just came from there. Things certainly look bad for her.
They certainly do, sir. You're in charge of neck brosting. Still badly shaken by his time in the sorority, he finds he'd rather have his hands in batter than dishwater. As for George, his new interest in dance has thrilled Wesley and Heather and surprised the heck out of Marcia. He's even hired a private tutor to show him the latest steps.
Ready for my dance lesson, big guy?
In a minute, George.
Thank God for shin guards.
Yes, Mr. Belvedere. Yeah, and Bob Uecker. The famous 200 batting average Bob Uecker. Oh, not Michael J. Fox. That's it. find out what show this is from. Okay. Try another time. Tony Thomas.
Yeah, I got Tony Thomas from Bayshore here.
Yes, Tony. Got any cake songs tonight?
Yeah, I got a song for you this week.
Okay, go for it.
All right, hold on.
Gotta get his guitar. Tune up.
Yay, yay.
A triumph, Tony.
That's great.
Keep up the good work.
Hey, did you recognize the song, though?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Could you hear me play guitar?
Yep.
That's great.
So you got an accompanying voice now.
Yeah.
That's great to hear, Tony.
Yeah.
So you got a sidekick. Oh, somebody did call about Tony Thomas Fan Club. What do you think?
Hey, I don't care. That's great.
Okay, so somebody's going to be forming one.
Wait, can you park me on the side tonight?
Sure. As a matter of fact, let's see. Hang on just a second. Hey, you want Tony in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put Tony Thomas in here. Why not?
All right, don't cut anybody off, though.
Okay. You're in, Tony.
Thanks.
Okay, have fun, folks. Okay. You're on brain damage. Can barely hear you, dude. You gotta be careful. Yo.
Dude, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Listen, am I on the air yet?
Yeah, you are now.
All right, this is Chris Smith from CI, and I just wanted to know, what's up, guys? And also, I wanted to show you my band.
Yeah?
It's called NutraSweet.
NutraSweet.
Really good, and I taped it, and I want to show it to you guys.
Okay, here's what you do.
All right, listen. Can I play it over the line? It's really good.
Well, you can do that, but you can also send a tape to Christina.
No, can I just play it over the now?
Go.
All right, ready? Here it goes.
Just buy it, then try it, fucking don't chuck it, live it, buy it, then you're gonna buy it. We're gonna beat each other last, and these good mates are fast. Back it.
Okay, well, I don't even think Christina would listen to that. Brain damage.
Oh, good evening, Major Milton.
JD.
Good evening, Major Milton.
JD.
Good evening, Major Milton.
Hey, is this CBN?
Good evening, Major Milton. Good evening, Major Milton. Good evening, Major Milton.
JD.
Oh, guess not. You're on brain damage.
How many people know the candy bar poem? One payday, Mr. Goodbar wanted a bit of honey, so he took his Miss Hershey behind the powerhouse on the corner of Fifth Avenue and Clark, where he there began to feel her mound. And that was an almond joy which definitely made his...